Welcome to another episode on the Thirsty Sisters TTS. I'm Sylvia, and today I'm drinking coffee because I'm trying not to take sugary beverages in my bid to lose weight again.
It's a never-ending journey, but you know what? I'm always supporting you. Hi, my name is Nina, and today I am drinking the Sprite. That's all I have to say.
Hey, I realize, oh, you don't drink Coke, but you drink a lot of Sprite, huh?
Yeah, because I think, I mean, psychologically, I think that Sprite is healthier because Coke got calorie.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I mean, it looks the closest to plain water, ma. So I think
it feels slim.
I feel healthier.
Okay, so remember that we have a Google form, you know, for local brands that actually drop in their products to us, right? Mm-hmm. So today's local brand is Asmara. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a local brand selling like health drinks. Mm-hmm. Okay, and this is for immunity and digestive system. And let's hear it.
Oh my god, my ears. Giving me goosebumps.
Really?
Yeah.
I love ASMR. Okay. Today's topic, it's still on the same thing, which is, you know, our very first breakup, right? So we imagine last episode is going to be like short and sweet where we can like talk about two. But once we deep dive, we realize, first relationship, actually, there's a lot going on.
The first heartbreak is always the penis lah.
Yeah. The English is great. I love it. But very accurate as well. Yeah, and I think, you know, maybe all of us will say, maybe we'll use one, two sentences to, you know, just describe our first relationship. Mm. But I think it's actually very interesting when you start to sit down with a friend that you can trust and then dissect it. Mm. And then you realize, oh my God, you know, that was my part to play. That was my bad. That was, you know, like what can we really learn from it, right? So, Nina, I know you have a lot of relationships in your life.
So many.
No, I see it as, bitch here is really trying to find true love, and is actively really doing it.
Yeah. And I think it really relates back to the story that I'm going to share today. Yeah, because I do see some similarities or like some repercussions of what my first relationship has done to me. Wow. As much as I don't want to admit it, but as you were sharing in the previous episodes, right, I do see a lot of like shadows that is like following me. Not in a like haunted way, but more of like, I do see that it really sets a lot of things for me when it comes to outlook of relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just very glad that the last episode we get to deep dive, because then today I might finally have the chance to understand things that I really don't.
Yeah. I hope you get liberated as well.
Yeah. I hope I get empowered and inspired, and I can find the love of my life after this. Yeah.
Tell me what went down.
Okay, I think to just give some context, we did mention in previous podcasts before that, you know, my first relationship did not end up very well because it was a cheating case, right?
Ahmad.
Yeah, that's right, Ahmad, yeah. So I think today I'm just going to give a bit more context first because I have never allowed myself to be vulnerable, you know, to talk about it. After that, so my relationship with Ahmad was when I was 15, which is the one that I had my first kiss behind the 163 bus at the Toa Payoh interchange. So Ahmad and I met in secondary school. He was 1 year my senior, and then we met in school camp. You know, like Sarim Boom. You all go before, right? Yeah. So he was like my...
No, I was in a girl's school, but I'll say...
Yeah, so the typical HDB people, huh, is the neighborhood school one is have to go to this camp one, lah. Like we do rock climbing, then like water expedition, all that. And he so happened to be the camp leader, like my group leader, basically, lah. And then I have no idea how it happened, but we were like flirty with each other. Then like, out of nowhere, we started like, touching each other's hand at the camp itself already. And that is why I think I'm trashy today, you know, because the first time I meet someone, right, already got some sparks, then like I just went for it.
Oh,
right.
So your very first physical touch turned out to be a great success.
Success with open and close inverted commas lah.
Okay.
So after the camp, right, then we started hanging out after school, in school, you know, in canteen, I get to sit at the same table with him, that kind of stuff. And like, we were known in the school to be in a relationship. And because in secondary school, right, he's a very high profile person. So basically, he was like a counselor in school, you know, he's very good in sports. He's very outspoken. He's the one that stand on the stage and do the pledge, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, so things were like very, very puppy love to me. And I was really... I felt like love for the first time, you know, like that is really the kind of typical puppy love story that when I watch movie and I'll be like, yeah, I felt this way before. That kind of love.
Oh, yes. Love.
But this relationship came with a lot of problems. Okay, because he's a very popular guy, right? So in between our relationship, there were a lot of girls that come into the picture. You might think that we were only 15, 16, what is there, right? So his ex-girlfriend was also in the school and like they had like a very ongoing relationship for the longest time before like me and Ahmad got together lah. So there were a lot of gossips around the school and a lot of years around the school, right, that tell me, say, hey, actually, you know, he's still seeing his ex. Like they are still talking and you know, they are still deeply in love with each other and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, I mean, it doesn't seem to me that way. So why should I bother about all these people? Because I, at that point, feel like you're just trying to break us up because you are jealous. You're jelly bitches, right? So I was just so smitten and I just choose to not listen to any of these gossips. It's because I truly believe in Ahmad, right? Then subsequently, right, a junior of mine, 1 year younger, there's also a gossip that came out in school saying that they have been seeing each other behind my back. Junior and Ahmad. Yeah, the name is Junior lah. Yeah. Okay. So we got Junior and Ahmad. So the story about Junior and Ahmad is that they've been spotted around the school being close. And because Junior is also a counselor, so you know, when they attend counselor meeting together, they are like always very close. And Junior always give Ahmad things and messaging Ahmad and stuff like that, you know. So I confronted Ahmad lah. I say, I don't want to believe this, but people have been telling me things about Junior. So do you want to share with me lah, so that I get enlightened? And if people accuse you, I confirm you'll go and scold the person, right? Then he was like, oh yeah, actually yeah, we are talking, but it's all about like counselor stuff and this and that. So I'm like, okay lah, then I will take it as it is lah. Then there are so many other things that were red flags to me. So for example, right, like there are times where during recess, like usually we'll sit together, right? Then suddenly Junior is also sitting with us, you know. And then Ahmad's group of friends, right, always look at me as though they pity me kind, always. And I still remember the faces of these people. That's how like upset and disappointed I was, because these people were still my friends and these people were like always with me, you know, like we are always hanging out together. We even on weekends, right, we'll go out together, we'll go to each other's house and stuff like that. But then, right, came a point where last time was Friendster, you know, we used, okay, so for people who don't know what Friendster is, it's the old school Facebook. Yeah, very old school one.
Yes.
So I have always been stalking Junior. Yeah, I remember you have to dial up the internet one. No? Then my father say 1 weekend I can only use 30 minutes, right? I will use the 30 minutes to stalk her.
What?
Then one day, Junior posted a picture on Friendster as a profile picture, okay? Not the kind she tried to hide and put at the secondary picture one. Of a picture of her and Ahmad sitting very close together. And is in a position whereby it is only possible if she sits on his lap. Because it's like her head is taller than him and then their face are like nyam together one. I'm not kidding, okay? I still remember that image in my head, you know? It's like how that is how much it hurt me at that point of time. Then I was like, well, I really don't know how to feel about it. But at the very same time, I was very in love with Ahmad. And I mean, my mom saw Ahmad. And I also allowed Ahmad to be part of my life in such a big part at that point of time. So I just asked him, say, hey, this place look like the bus stop that, you know, I always see you at. And it's at his place. And he lives far from school, by the way. So every time, sometimes I will take a bus from Sengkang, right, to his place. And then I will take a bus back by myself so that we get to spend that extra time together, lah. That is my commitment to him. Then he was like telling me, oh no, she came and passed me McDonald's in the morning. Then I'm like, why did she come and pass you McDonald's? And why did y'all take such an intimate photo? Because apparently we didn't even have photos like this, lah. Right? So I was jelly, ma. Then he was like, oh no, like she happened to be around that area. Come on, like, bitch, stay in Sengkang also, like, you think what? But at that point of time, I was so stupid, right? I chose to believe it, you know. I chose to believe everything that he said. Because I just feel that there's no reason to doubt him if that is what he say, then I'm just gonna take it. And at the very same time, right, I invested in that relationship. I refuse to look at it as a failure. I refuse to allow the gossips in the school to be true. So it became a very bad part of my mental health in a way, because right, everybody is like looking at me like I'm stupid, I'm dumb, you know, I allow this type of things to happen. And then people tell me, say, I see it coming already, you know, why you didn't see it coming, we really tell you why he, you know, got a lot of girls and stuff like that. Then I'm just like, okay lah, I mean, now that yeah, well, it really is, lor. But I don't want to be defeated, what? So I'm going to make sure that this relationship works out so that I can prove to everybody, ma, right? That all your concerns are like, nothing, one, like, end of the day, Nina Tan is the one he won, you know, that kind of stuff. Then after that, he graduated, so he went into poly. Mm. And then I was in secondary four, which is the O-level year, lah. I think that is where it really all go downhill. Because, right, our timing in school is different. Mm. And then he has his new group of friends. Mm. And the time that he spent with me is lesser and lesser. And he did not ask me for a breakup also, you know. It's just like, oh, then we just see each other on weekend or maybe twice in a month. And then the messages got lesser and lesser. And then ultimately, right, he just told me, say, it's best that we break up. Then I was like, okay. I mean, I understand that this is not going the way it is. And I was very affected in school in terms of like my sports, in terms of my studies, in terms of my friends, you know, everything that concerns a kid at 16-year-old, right, happened to me at that point of time. So it was a very big blow to me. But ultimately, I accepted the breakup and realized that, right, actually, he already moved on with someone in poly already. So Ahmad is actually a serial cheater, lah. Because, right, junior, the senior, and the new girlfriend in poly, right, is just the tip of the iceberg only. There are so many other stories that came out, and even people, like, coming to me with evidence and telling me I was just being plain stupid to refuse to believe it and, like, being very egoistic, like, I want to try and prove people. But honestly, there's nothing to prove, you know. Yeah, then I think fast forward a few years, I remember when he first got his motorcycle, right? He came to talk to me again.
Oh.
He came to talk to me and asked me how I was doing and that, like, want to meet up and stuff like that. Not lah. So I was like, I feel like I reconciled everything already and I moved on already. So I felt it was okay to meet him. Then he tell me, say, oh, he can't pick me because now he got moto. Like, okay lah. Like, okay, yeah, it will be nice to see a person that you used to love so much, you know. Like, you really love that much that I even tell my mother I want to convert and marry him. Like, that is the direction I was going for already. Then I met him and I realized one thing. I realized that once trust is broken, right, there's no way that I can look at it differently. So even if he's a changed person, but the amount of hurt that he has given me, he never ever tried to console me or try to talk to me or like even be honest about what has happened previously. He was still like trying to lie to me and shit. So I was very disappointed because I thought by meeting him, at least I can get some clarity out of the few years that I was feeling like shit and I was treating guys like shit and all that, right? But it did not, lor. It just happened to be he is the same exact person, lor. Yeah. And I think for a 15, 16-year-old, right, this is such a big thing to bear.
Yeah.
It's also extremely hard because, right, I don't get attention from my parents when I was young. Mm. So I feel that I seek that validation externally, which is in my circle of friends in school. And I try so hard because I really needed that attention at that point in my life, lah. So in the end, it backfired on me because I don't know, I was just being plain stupid and egoistic and like trying to be like somebody that I'm not. Yeah, that I got like really, really, really hurt.
Wow. Hey, so like, did him asking for a breakup come as a surprise?
Well, I guess I really see it coming. Mm-hmm. As much as I didn't want it, I really didn't want it, you know. It's like, for me, it's like, okay, as long as you tell me that we are still together, even if it means that you meet me 1 month, 1 hour, I also okay. Like, it was at that stage of, in a way, I'm just gonna say desperation to like want that relationship so freaking bad. It was at that level. So when he asked for a breakup, I somehow knew it was coming, but I just was not ready to accept it.
Damn.
Yeah. It was very, very, very bad for me as a 15, 16-year-old kid to go through all of that.
Wow. Yeah. Then, like, was it a one-day thing? Like, did y'all sit down face-to-face to talk about it? Or it was, like, I don't know, like, at a bus stop? Or, like, it was via a call? Like, what was the mode of breakup?
I remember very clearly, right? It was just through message. Yeah, it was just through message. I was using a Sony Ericsson flip phone. I still remember. And then, like, I cannot remember the exact details. But I know he just said that, you know, I feel that it's better if we break up. Because like, I'm going to be so busy in school and it's your O-levels year. So it's best that we break up. Lah. But what the hell? Like, you choose to do this to me during O-levels means that you are so equally shitty. Ah.
Wait, so it was a short message. It wasn't like a long paragraph detailing why this is not going to work out.
No, it was just like that.
Because I was too busy and you are going to be busy. It's the angle. Lah.
We are going to lead separate lives from here already. Oh. Like, he just break it to me like that. But the actions throughout the entire course, you already know this person is drifting away already. But when it hit you in the face, right, receiving that message, right, there's no hope in you at all. Lor. Like, sometimes I feel like, I remember now, I was thinking, okay, maybe now because he really, you know, in poly, very busy, there's a lot of, like, extracurricular activities and stuff like that. Maybe when he get the hang of it ready, and maybe when I go to his poly, right, I will be together with him again, ma. Yeah. I thought about it. I really thought about it.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. Yeah. That was how obsessed I was in that relationship. But that was the most not toxic self of me. And that was the last time I ever remember myself not being toxic.
Oh, that means that it must be so painful, right? That you completely change. Because that story actually sounds really hopeful. Just to break it down a little bit, right? Mm. I kind of get why you are... I know you call it obsessed, but I kind of get why you tried so hard to make it work. Mm. Because number one, you already say he's the school's golden boy. Like, his reputation is pristine, you know, like he is that kind of style of guys. So like, in a way, right, you will always feel like you need to catch up to that, you know, and you feel like, no, like you say, right, your parents didn't give you attention. So if you feel like, maybe it's a sense of, oh, if I can catch up to that, then I'm golden girl as well, you know, then I am worthy as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it kind of feels like that's why you're like trying so hard. And I think you mentioned that point where you say like, I just want him to pick me because I'm Nina Tan and not the other girls, right? It seems like, yeah, long, like you just want that space, you know, that very validated, because he's such a validated person. Like you mentioned, a like, high profile, like supposed to be good one.
But actually, yeah, I do get that point. But I realized one thing, like throughout the years, right, that this actually happened only because when I was young, my nanny take care of a lot of kids, ma. So attention is always divided. At one point, she had like 7 kids, and I was just one of the kids that she was taking care of. I always have very divided attention, and that's something that I never ever got, you know. I want full attention. I want somebody to like just really give me full attention. And I think I try to project it into a relationship whereby no matter what happens in this relationship, I'm not sharing any attention that was given to me. If there's any attention, right, this is like my stage. Yeah, that was how I felt at that point of time, because this is the only time that I felt this belongs to me. Yeah, I'm owning something for the first time in my life, you know, and I will not allow myself to fail. Yeah, because I don't know, I think about it as a kid. I just feel that there are a lot of things that happened to me when I was younger, right, that caused me to project a lot of things that I really want in my life out on the other person.
No, and I think it's just sad. Sad because, right, if people see us now, they'll say alpha woman, whatever, strong and whatever, right? But to be very honest, right, I don't think we are brought up that way, you know? Right, we are brought up in a way that, well, if we want attention, we have to fight for it one, you know? Like,
yeah.
Because to be very honest, we know in a healthy relationship, right, we give attention to each other because it is what we do, because we care for each other. You know, if somebody needs that attention, you go there for that person during that point in time, right? Like, you don't have to fight for these kind of things, right? Because if you have to fight for it, then what sort of relationship is this? But it's like, you know, when you're young, it sounded like you really had to fight for the attention with Ahmad.
You know, the fighting attention part, right? It's like, I was so tired of fighting for attention at home, in my supposedly natural habitat, right? Yeah. Then I go to school, I also need to fight, no? And at home, I cannot win one because I am the youngest child that my nanny takes care of. Then here, right, at least like, I do have some achievement in schools. Like, I play hockey, which is considered very cool. And then like, I was the sports leader, you know, stuff like that. So I just felt that I'm owning something that I don't get at home. So why must I give up on this when I feel that I still got fighting spirit?
Hey, I want to ask you. So when junior, right, started sitting in the canteen and eat with y'all, right? Like,
wow, it was the weirdest thing ever. And it's like, she just sat there, and then I see my friends also like chatting with her and stuff like that, knowing that there is something going on, you know. I just felt so, I felt like a fool, to be exact. I felt like a fool. Like, you know how scary it is that just that day, I was doing a live stream for a client. Junior commented on the live stream wanting to win something, right? I felt myself breaking out in cold sweat, number one. And number two, I still have to maintain my professionalism and still continue doing the live stream. But at that moment, right, I broke out in cold sweat. I literally feel my face got no blood like that, you know.
Wow, I'm
already
today.
Yeah, I'm already over Ahmad. Like, really, he's married, he's happy, I'm good. But when I saw that thing, right, it just immediately flashed back to me that, wow, this is the kind of like feeling she brought to me, you know. Then I was just like, oh my god, if she win the lucky draw, then I need to say her name. That is just my concern. That's my concern during the live stream.
Did you actually bring it up? I'm sorry, like, because when we're young, we won't be so brave to stand up for ourselves. Right? We'll just tahan, correct?
Yeah.
But it sounds like everybody was very clear it's uncomfortable. Right? There's like there's a triangle sitting on the same table as us, right? Mm. Like, did you actually bring it up to her or did you ever bring it up to Ahmad? What's this situation?
Interestingly, I actually confronted Junior.
Oh.
I messaged her and I also talked to her before.
Ah.
She was just very cordial with me, you know, very bubbly and like just like nothing. It's really nothing. I mean, like, honestly, Junior, if you're listening to this, right, you want to recount your story, please come on our podcast. I'll be very happy. But the only thing is that I remember when I talked to her, right, like, oh, I said, so what's with you and Ahmad? Like, you know, she's like, oh, nothing. We do counselor work together, law. Yeah, then nothing. Then, you know, like that kind of thing. Then he's like, what the hell? What do you mean nothing? Then I say, oh, I saw your friendster, you know, like, you all sit very close together.
Yeah.
Then she was like, oh, nothing, we just take picture, law, you know. It's really like that, like. Then at that point of time, right, I'm not who I am today, you know. So I was just like confused. I was like, how should I continue confronting this person?
Like when she's like clearly denying the whole thing as if like it's a completely different reality, yeah, like that.
I was just in shock of like, but how she managed to just type quote this entire thing when I'm hurting so badly.
Would you feel better if she just apologized? Because like, I don't want to throw big words out there, right? Mm. But I mean, there's a term now, it's clearly it's called gaslighting, right? Like when you felt that it was A and she clearly, you know, angled in a way like, no, it's B, right? Like, would you feel better today if she apologized to you and just say, hey, sorry lah, like that time I knew there was something going on and I had something going on?
Maybe thinking about it now, I never needed anything from that, you know. But that day at the live stream, right, when she commented, right, it just reminded me of the time where she looked at me in the face and lied to me, ma. You know, it's like you got the cheek to do that. So I really wish that maybe she could tell me exactly what happened and be honest with me, because honestly, I don't care about Ahmad as a person, but the entire incident itself, like, really hurt me so much, lah. Mm. Yeah, so, I mean, it would be great if she can maybe email me or drop me a Facebook message to like share with me like what exactly happened. So maybe if she can really enlighten me on that part and give me clarity, maybe that will help.
Then what about Ahmad, honestly? Because I just want to say, right, a guy who is like leading two girls on, this is on him, okay? I just want to say, like, as much as Junior doesn't sound like she's that great about the gaslighting part, okay? But honestly, this is Ahmad's fault. Like, why are you eating with two girls on the same bench? Like, what is this? Like, what's going on, you know? Would you feel better if he just admitted, yeah, sorry lah, I was a golden boy on the outside, but inside I'm a serial cheater?
Okay, honestly, right, for Ahmad's case, no. I think at this point, right, it's just a thought of him just repel me, like, yeah, I there's nothing that I want to do with him.
Wow.
It's very scary, eh? And I was very, very young, you know.
That is true. Yeah. And that the moral of the story of today's episode is, do not date when you're 15, especially do not date when you have O-levels.
Yeah, correct. I agree. That's why, okay, honestly, I laugh at Sylvia all the time because I feel that, yeah, you date so old, you know, like everyone around me is like dating at that age. But actually, it's not all that bad. Your priority as a kid should be studying. You shouldn't let something like this overpower you to the extent that it like crippled you.
Wow. I was just joking, but it sounds like,
no, really,
that is correct.
I felt like I was crippled. Okay.
Wow. Honestly, to me, you know, you're good, right? Like, you're chill, you're nice, you're a very whole person, and you are really like, I need you in my life as a person, you know, and you're a great human being to the people around you. So it just hurts me when I know, like, wow, when you're growing up, you need to fight so hard to believe that you are worthy. You know what's the worst part of this story? When you say that, if Ahmad just say 1 month, we meet 1 hour and we're still together, I'll take it.
Yeah.
And it hurts me when women in general say these kind of things, because it's like, why do we put ourselves in a box that's lower than a man? Like, how good is he? Like, there's no dick. You didn't have dick, sorry. But there's even if you're having dick, there's no dick that's worth this much. Right? There's no dick that's worth your self-esteem. There's no guy, you know, who is worth, you know, your self-worth one.
And that is why the me today, right, is like, you want to meet me at 7 p.m. You better be there at 6:59.
No, that's why you're like that now.
That's why I realized there's a lot of things that mirrors to that. That's why I tell you, the last time I know I was like not toxic, right, was when I was 15 and 16. Everything happened after that, right? All very toxic, man. Like, okay, not very, but all my relationships, right, we always end up not being friends. Yeah.
Oh no. Mm.
And that is why I'm trashy, because I cannot take relationships. Like I don't see it as something that I really want in my life, because it like kind of destroy me.
I wouldn't say so. I think it's just that the experience just wasn't really very ideal.
Yeah.
You didn't walk out feeling like, oh, love could be great. No. You know, like you walk out with a lot of baggage, to be very honest. And I think you walk out with a lot of unresolved trauma, yeah. to be very honest. Yeah. Right. And I think at the very least, right? Mm. I think like you deserve an apology for bad behavior. I know you don't want anything.
Yeah.
But I think it's like, how to say, human to human, basic respect, right? It's like, sorry, y'all. Like, you really gotta say sorry.
Wow, then like, I also need to say sorry to a lot of people after that.
Hey, no, that is great.
Maybe I should write letters.
Yes, yeah, maybe you should.
Say sorry to everybody that I've hurt.
Yeah, then maybe it's a cathartic thing. Okay.
Then the universe will manifest a good man for
yes,
me.
Yes, yes. Oh my God, let's go.
That's
start.
The takeaway of today. This podcast.
Yes.
Write letter. Get the universe to give me a good guy.
So on the topic, I just want to tell you, okay?
Yes,
on the topic of writing letters, I want to share with you this thing that I did. Because there was this period of time where like I'm very angry with people around me. And like I'm like, don't forgive you, you know? And I realized I was holding on to a lot of grudges, right? And then I wanted my life to be better because like the only person that's really suffering is me, ma.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't that big-minded to say, I'm going to forgive everybody, right? So right, I have maybe 6 people that every time like I hear news of them, like I will cold sweat, that kind, right?
Okay.
So I told myself, I can only have 3 people I hate a year. Like I must end the year, babe. I'm very childish, right? Okay? Like I told myself, I can only have 3.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But nowadays, right, I like don't have any really.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So I need to choose 3 that I need to forgive. And I also need to apologize, right? Mm. It was the hardest shit ever. I sat there and I was like, I hate you so much. I'm not going to forgive you. But I promised myself, I'm going to end this year with only 3 names that if I see, I'll get shocked. Like, I can only take that much shock.
Right, right.
Yeah, so I actually picked like maybe like 3 people, right? That I say, fine, okay, I'll go approach, forgive them, but also apologize to them, right. You know? So I would say like, it was one of the best things that I've done for myself, okay, in a very strange way. So like, there was this guy and what happened was that, you know, we had a lot of conflict, right? And then we just started not talking, you know? So in the end, I said to him, hey, like our relationship sucks now, but just want to say that sorry, number one, okay, if I've caused you any like unhappiness or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I also just want to say my piece, which is number one, I laid out his strengths. Actually, you are really good at this, mm-hmm. and honestly, that time when we're doing this, mm-hmm. it was really great. I really appreciate that about you.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I didn't appreciate was something else, but just want to say at the end of the day, right, like I would really want us to, I'm not going to say big words like friends, right? Mm-hmm. I would really just want us to like bury the hatchet really.
Yeah.
Between us. And actually, he replied back to me. She's like, wow, I really didn't expect to hear from you.
Yeah.
And he also did the same, which is like, he apologized for like whatever I mentioned that I didn't like.
Mm.
And then he also like say, actually, I really respect you also in certain ways.
Yeah.
And then I can say, until today, if we meet on the street, right, we are cool. Like I see his name on the wherever now, right? Or like any friends bring it up, right? Like I feel so neutral. Like last time I used to have that... you know, and then I'll stiffen up. But now it's like because of that little activity, okay? Like now I'm really good with him.
Yeah, I know. Because right, when you told me about it previously, right, I was so proud of you. Because I won't say that this guy is the greatest guy. And in case you're wondering, this is not a relationship, this is a friendship. Which even as friends, you cross that kind of boundaries, right? It's gonna take a lot for a person like me to even want to talk to you, you know. But you were the bigger person in this picture and you actually did it, which I'll be honest, I never expected you to be the person that do it.
Right. So I mean, at the end of this episode, it seems like, you know, I think a lot of us do face certain things in our first relationship, right? And it's definitely things that we need to work out. So if you really feel like, hey, you want to start writing letters, right? I think it might help you. Okay, it's going to be tough, right? But I'm going to support you through it because I feel like at the end of the day, I don't give a shit about these people, fuck them, okay, to be very honest. But I feel like you will feel better if you do that.
So I think my takeaway for this is really just, if you need to talk to someone, go and talk to someone. If you need, let's say, 1 week to like just cool down and like write a letter to like show someone or whatever, right, do it. And then I think it will be easier to move forward from there. You have a different outlook, Possibly. I wish I did it, but I didn't.
Oh, damn. Mm. Right, speaking about writing letter, maybe you should write one to yourself first.
Wow, I think I write already.
Dear Nina.
The letter come out is a dum-dum one. Confirm the tears, the saliva, the BT all will come out and like flood the entire
Yeah, maybe
thing.
Okay, you see which letter we want to write first, okay? To the boys or to yourself, it's up to you. But we're going to be writing some letters. I'm buying stickers, I'm buying paper, and we're going to write some letters. But meanwhile, okay, if you're
wait,
in a place...
Are we reading the letter on the podcast? I need to know where this is going.
We won't lah.
Okay, fine.
Write a fucking letter. Oh my God, this woman. Okay, so if you are somebody, you know, and you probably, if, let's say, okay, you don't have an adult that's safe, okay? Or, you know, friends that you trust, right? Mm. Again, you know, we have a confessions page.
Yeah.
And I think, to be very honest, right, a lot of you have been sharing these kind of relationship stories. Mm. And I've been reading through our comments on IG especially, right? Mm. I would like to say the community really give great advice. Mm. And it's really from places of love. I haven't seen any trolls, which I'm so thankful for, that we are really taking care of each other. Mm. So if you're in a difficult space, basically you are like Nina's kind of
15 years ago the Nina.
Yes, right. We want to be that big sister for you, right? So drop us your confessions on our IG, right? And there's also links if you want to be anonymous on Google Form.
But if you need immediate response, right, actually the people on Telegram, when somebody submit a story, right, well, the advice will come in very fast. Right? So if let's say it's urgent, right, you just go to our Telegram community. They are very on the ball though.
Yes. Okay, with that, thank you Nina for sharing your story. It's been very enlightening. Okay. And okay. Asmara.
Alright.
Hope that tickles your ears. I'm Sylvia.
I'm Nina.
And thank you so much for listening in to another episode on the Thirsty Sisters TTS. Hey, I can hear the ending music in my head. I think it repeat already.
The jazzy.